Why would you throw that away? There's still beer in there.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's time for some more geeky boners. Both me and Molly are talking about some television shows that we're kind of obsessed with right now. And Nick has a boner about this thing that he's making in his basement.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey!
And Molly Glover.
That's a me!
That's a you! And we are here to, we return to one of our favorite topics that we have here on Geeks Without God, and that is boners!
We love boners. We get so excited about boners.
It's time for geeky boners. We are going to talk about the geeky stuff that has us all excited in a sexual way.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we ought to start with the person, I think, with the largest raging boner pretty much every single time we do an episode. That's Molly.
Yeah. The boner's so hard. All right. So I have a huge boner for Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes. Now, I'm very late to the Buffy the Vampire Slayer game. I loved the movie when I was in high school. It was one of my favorite movies. I thought it was super funny. And my brother and I still like have inside jokes, not even just quote jokes that we do from that movie, like all the time.
Exaggerated deaths.
Yeah, yeah, just the ooh. Paul Reubens, awesome in that movie. But I had never watched the show, mostly because it started when I was a freshman in college. So I was really into the X-Files, and I didn't have a lot of time for other TV. And as you might remember, during those dark days, if you didn't catch the show when it was on, you didn't get to see the show.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
There was no...
Oh,
why couldn't you just download it online?
I know. Or, like, watch it on your TiVo after you'd recorded it? Yeah. No, you couldn't. Oh, and weird. So, we didn't really...
The dark days of fandom.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't really get into it. And then, as I got older, and people would be like, oh, it's so good. And I was, you know, I'm older. I'm like, teenager Buffy stuff. Nah. Nick kept telling me how good it was. So, finally... It was on Hulu.
I think what I kept telling you was, oh man, it's so worth watching the first season to get to the rest.
Yeah, you gotta get, everyone said that. You gotta get through the first season, but then it's so good.
Yeah.
And we have gotten through the first season. I thought it was great. I didn't think it was bad. I can see why, where people might think that
it's just not,
in hindsight, it's not as good.
It's just not the refined, like the characters haven't gone through their arcs yet.
Well,
they haven't grown, and they haven't. It's just, you know, it feels like
clumsy.
An Inferno show, yeah.
Well, it's just like, I love the show Friends, which I feel has lots of great character arcs and really wonderful plot stuff, but that first season, that pilot season is rough, because it's like, line, joke, shot of Joey, shot of Phoebe, shot of Rachel, shot of Ross, shot of Chandler, shot of Monica, like, and all of them being like, ha-ha. Like a smiling, like laughing, like shot, just one after another in this like new sitcom style. And it's like, that's a lot. I don't really care what everyone thinks. but no, Buffy's great. I really like I enjoy Monster of the Week type episodes as much as I do like plot advancing episodes. Obviously I like the X-Files. So that's one of the reasons that I'm enjoying it a lot. And it's been my only complaint. And if you haven't seen Buffy yet, I don't really care if I spoil anything for you, so just...
It's been out for a while. I feel like the statute of limitations has well expired.
Yeah, yeah. My main complaint is that the main, like, Angel-Buffy relationship, Angel is a fuckwad. He's an abusive piece of shit. And I don't like him when he has a soul, and I like him better when he doesn't have a soul, because at least then everyone else sees what he really is, which is an abusive, manipulative piece of shit. So it's very frustrating to me when he gets his soul back and he's making puppy dog eyes, and he's like, Buffy! And she's like, oh my god, it's Angel! Oh my god, you're finally back, and I love you! And I'm like... This guy is no good. Like, and how...
240-year-old pedophile.
Not even that, yeah. He was made a vampire as an adult man. So I would like to know why the adult non-vampire, the teacher in Buffy's life, Giles, how come no one's pointing out, him especially, that she is dating an adult man. Let's just set aside all the vampire stuff. Let's just set aside the Slayer stuff.
First season, she's like a sophomore.
She's like 15 or 16, and she is dating an adult man, and no one at all says anything about that. Everyone's like, oh, it's so romantic, or oh, you shouldn't be together because he's a vampire and you're the Slayer. And I'm like, maybe also because he's an adult and you're a child. And so I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in there, but I really like it. I really like Seth Green, and I really like Allison Hannigan, both as actors. I like a lot of other stuff they're in. So it's really cool. One of my other favorite shows, How I Met Your Mother, Allison Hannigan is in, and that was, you know, 9 seasons. She actually, I've heard interviews with the cast of that show. She was like one of the bigger stars coming in. Because of Buffy. And because of American Pie. So, like, the other actors in the show were a little, like, excited to get to meet her because she was the, you know, the big star power in the show.
Yeah, but she got to work with Ted Mosby, sex architect.
I think it's neat, though, because you can really see in Buffy that she's a lot more like the Allison Hannigan that, like, I think her first thing was American Pie, which she got kind of famous for. That kind of character who talks like this.
The nerdy band geek thing. Yeah.
And Willow kind of has the same thing with her eyes real big and she talks like this. And so it's not annoying. It's just, it's a similar character, which then you can really see how that kind of changes in How I Met Your Mother, and she kind of starts that way a little bit and it advances as that character grows. So you get to see, I don't know, an actor I like doing old actor stuff.
So where are you right now?
We are at season 3,
like four or five,
I think. Yeah. So we're like one season away from the musical episode, which I am very excited. it was just the 1 year, it was the 15-year anniversary of the musical episode just a few days ago. So
Musical episode
season 4.
No, Hush is season 4. The musical episode is later.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said on the 15-year anniversary thing of it.
I can never remember if which season Hush is in and which season Once More with Feeling is in.
Yeah. In any event, I'm very excited to continue watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer and probably some angels.
So, okay, I had a question about your boner for you.
Yes.
When we get to the point when Buffy and Angel are both on TV at the same time, there are a few points in the plot where they cross over.
Yes, I've heard this.
So at some point, we're ideally we would stop watching Buffy, catch up on Angel, and switch back to Buffy and go back and forth in episodes.
Can we not watch the cross? We just can't. Is it significant enough, like Arrow and Flash, or is it kind of not significant, like Arrow and Flash?
There's like whole season finale importantness.
All right.
For at least one season.
Maybe. I will give Angel a shot, but I reserve the right to not like it because I just can't handle him being a main character.
Here's the thing. He's so different after the first season of Angel, where he's not just like a sad mopey bastard.
All right.
Here's the thing. I hate Angel in Buffy.
Yeah.
But as soon as...
That was a sex joke, everybody.
It was. More people should hate Angel and Buffy.
As soon as you get him away from her and the whole star-crossed whatever pedophile thing.
Yeah.
As soon as you remove that from the equation, he becomes a tolerable character.
All right. I'll give it a shot.
Star-crossed whatever
Star-crossed pedophiles.
They're both pedophiles.
That's the next
singular
show that Joss Whedon Star-crossed pedophiles. Star-crossed pedophiles by Joss Whedon. Never mind. All right. That's not a song we should sing. Okay. So, Nick.
Yeah.
Moving on from Molly's pedophilic boner to yours.
I don't have a pedophilic boner. My boner is a valley girl.
Who's the target of an immortal pedophile?
Who's the target of an immortal pedophile?
But it's okay. He has a soul.
Pedophiles want my boner.
My boner is so close to an actual boner that... I don't think we've ever had anything on the show as close.
No way.
Tomorrow, I'm getting a vasectomy.
Whoa!
Yay! High five!
High five!
I'll take one of them.
Yeah!
I went in a couple weeks ago, and I figured, like, while I'm finishing up school, this is my last semester, before I go back to work and have to, like, take time out, you know, vacation time and all that stuff, now is the perfect time to, like, do a sleep study for my apnea and get a vasectomy and, and quick, all this, like, reproductive shit that we might have to take care of before January 11th for no particular reason.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, who knows what the access to abortions might be in the future, so...
And you might need one.
I guarantee if I get pregnant, I will.
No, I meant Nick.
That's a rock fact.
So, you know, it's something I've always meant to do and haven't gotten around to, and insurance just, like, pays for it, because babies are expensive, too. I mean...
Yeah, you know, you would think that that would be a great reason for insurance to cover birth control, because birth control is cheaper than kids.
Yes.
Birth control is cheaper than kids. Yeah. A vasectomy is 30 minutes and you're out, like, practically.
Yeah.
It's outpatient.
They don't knock you out. They just cuts,
two snips and two tucks and then stitches and you're out.
Is it stitches or is it glue?
I don't know. He said dissolving stitches. I didn't.
All right. So probably. That's stitches. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the surgeon that I'm going to is, he does, you know, the two cuts and pulls out the vas and then snips them, and then tucks, one under muscle, and then the other end over muscle after they've been singed.
Oh, sure.
So they're cauterized or they're closed or whatever, but then also. There's, like, a layer of muscle separating the two ends.
So there's very little chance for a wayward sperm to somehow...
Or for them to heal.
Grow back together.
And complete, which, you know, does happen. But,
So next time you hear Nick on the podcast...
He's going to be barren.
There will be a vast difference.
But, the doctor was...
You're welcome, Bob.
Yeah.
The doctor was... cool, you know, and I'd done my research before going in, so there wasn't a lot to go over, but he's talking about, he remarked that it was off season for vasectomies, because
on season
is the Big Ten basketball tournament.
Oh, March Madness.
People go get vasectomies during March Madness so that they can sit at home for a week and watch basketball.
Do you need to sit at home? Our friend of the show, Eric Knight, had a vasectomy while he was living at our house for a short while. He was in between houses. And, I mean, he took it easy for a couple of days. But
that's about what he's going to do.
I don't have any plans.
I was going to have a vasectomy, and then when Pat had the second kid, they actually tied the tubes because she had a planned C-section.
Yeah.
Sure. So they tied the tubes. And then it was like, all right, well, I guess I don't. It's like I don't have a problem with having a vasectomy, but at the same time, why have surgery if you don't need it?
I would imagine.
And that's why Tim has all those illegitimate children out there in the world.
It's true. Hi, kids.
I would imagine with the March Madness thing, it's like yes, it might only be a day or two of just taking it easy, but you could also, if you are the type of guy who wants to make it out that it's way worse than it is, it's a good excuse to be like, I can't go to work. Baby, it hurts so bad. Like, because as a woman, I will never know what it feels like to have balls. So if you were like, it's the worst pain I've ever felt, I'd be like, okay.
But then, like, pain is so relative, too. And your brain plays tricks on you to make you forget pain and stuff like that. So some guys I talked to were like, oh my God, I had like a black and blue grapefruit between my legs and like everything but sitting still hurt, and other guys that are like, I was at work like the next afternoon.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's very personal.
Same advice I got for pretty routinely was, don't ignore or fuck about the aftercare stuff.
Well, sure.
But that seems like every surgery,
that's
right?
Basic surgery advice.
Yeah, listen to your doctor. Okay, I guess.
I never worry about that sort of stuff because I've had kidney stones. And my mom has had kidney stones and she's had children and she told me the kidney stones were worse.
Absolutely.
So I'm like,
all right.
I get pain. Pain is... So a vasectomy pain, I'm kind of like, what?
We'll see. All I know is when I went in for the consult, the dude is like pinching and grabbing to, like, find the vast deference in both sides. Mm-hmm. And, like... found them. I could feel him find them.
That's weird.
You know, above everything. Yeah, but you know, they're there. And like, I can feel him, like, latch on and pinch both of them for, like, a minute or two, right? Yeah. And I could feel where he pinched, like, my ass hurt for, like, a day and a half.
That's really crazy.
It was like, God damn it. That's something you don't get to say a lot is, man, that guy was really rough on my vast efforts.
It's funny because I've told a couple of people, you know, that this is happening because I'm taking a half day, you know, to drive him and everything so he can get his little Valium pills.
Yeah,
and
drugs.
And my best friend's dad had this, and she's like, I'll tell you the story of it because he likes to tell the story, and I'll tell you the story with way less detail than he will. But they nicked an artery and didn't realize it, but it was such a small nick that it took like a day before he all of a sudden was just like filled up with his cavity
with
blood and went into the emergency room, and they were like, oh yeah, that's bad. So what they had to do was they kind of had
like
to,
a keg.
They tapped him like a keg in his taint, and he had a period for like 2 months because they just let it, the blood just had to come out gradually.
That's so great.
I thought about telling you tomorrow, but then I decided since you made it your boner, I'm giving you.
I'm really not too worried about it.
I wouldn't be worried at all.
I actually went so far as to look up the urologist I got by luck of the draw when I talked to insurance about being interested about it. The internet said, you know, oh, this guy, 10 out of 10 would bang.
Nice.
And like,
good.
People talked about
would
you
get
know,
snipped again.
Experience. So
very cool.
It's no, nothing crazy.
I'm excited.
So yeah,
he probably does like 15 a day, and it's the most boring thing ever.
My only disappointment is that I won't be able to tell any difference. Like, you know, like there's no taste difference or like sight difference
it's
or anything.
It's not like Fire Engine Red now or
I wish there was a way. I wish there was a way.
Sex is so much better now.
I want some kind of designer vasectomy. Like I want to do something
like a little,
fancy.
Like Dick Jazzle.
Yeah, yeah. Can they make it whistle when he comes?
I want little ink reservoirs on the way that I can like fill with syringe, and that way I can be like. Like, today, it's bright green and like, fluorescent. And
I really like the idea of your dick whistling like Steamboat Willie. Right before you come, like... and it's just like...
Design of vasectomies.
So, this episode will have gone... I mean, the vasectomy will have happened.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening. It's happening in 12 hours.
So, as you're listening to the episode, raise a glass... And take a drink for Nick's useless sperm.
Yay!
Yeah, toast to infertility.
And for the now solid assertion that all this uterus is good for is future cancer.
Yeah. We were joking about, because we were just at OmegaCon this past weekend, having OmegaCon be an infertility ceremony and having to like make people unwind a maypole dancing around it backwards or something.
That would have been great.
We're going to go smash some like chicken eggs on the sidewalk and
like
do some
the give
opposite,
the finger to the moon.
The opposite of Ostara stuff. Yeah. Anyway,
that's a fantastic boner.
Tim, how's your boner?
Is your
looking?
Boner as close to or relevant to real boners?
Bonerness
probably,
is close to godliness.
I think not. Probably not. No, my boner, it's a TV show as well. Pat and I have been watching a lot of crime dramas. We just got done watching 11 seasons of Criminal Minds. Some of which is really good and some of which is dopey as fuck. But that's fine. And so we were looking on Hulu trying to figure out what to watch next.
Yeah.
And we started watching Elementary.
Really?
I am a big Sherlock Holmes fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Sherlock Holmes fan. We've gotten about 6 episodes in, so we aren't too far into the first season. But it's a crime procedural.
Yeah.
It is absolutely a crime procedural, but as a fan of Sherlock Holmes, it's not as good as Sherlock. Obviously, Sherlock is the gold standard. By the way, Sherlock's coming out in January.
Oh, man. That's exciting. You'll be hearing us talk about that shit.
And then we'll get 3 episodes, and then we'll have to wait another 6 years.
Fuck you,
awesome.
Sherlock! Anyway.
Fuck you, BBC.
Fuck you, BBC. So, but, I, overall, I feel like they do a decent job with the Sherlock Holmes character.
It's hard to wreck the Sherlock Holmes character.
They're slowly introducing the mythology of the rest of the characters. It's like they've introduced that there's an Irene Adler in this universe.
Okay.
They haven't introduced a Moriarty yet.
How about a Mycroft?
There is a Mycroft, but the Mycroft hasn't shown up yet.
Mm.
But there is a Mycroft. So it's a longer game. But, you know, the thing is that if you've read the original Holmes short stories,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Holmes short stories are very episodic.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So the idea of an episodic television series isn't so far off.
No, like, no. I think, I mean, my whole thing is, it struck me as being whenever I saw ads for it, because we watched some show on CBS that Elementary ads would come up, you know, now and then. Yeah. And it just struck me as being very packaged and glib because it's American and network television. Do you feel like it's... Do you feel like that's like the trailers do it a disservice or...
You know, it's... It is a... police procedural where the main character is Sherlock Holmes.
So it's The Mentalist.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So they do a decent job of making him Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
They do...
Is he English?
He is English.
Okay.
He is English. He's not American. He's English.
But they're in America.
They are in America.
Is Watson...
They're in New York. English? Watson is played by Lucy Liu, which I like Lucy Liu. So... and I don't have any problem with the gender bending.
She loves you too, Timothy Wick.
Going home with my Lucy Lubot.
Yeah. Everybody loves Lucy Lubots.
So she's decent. There are, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say like it's a great show, but I am saying that if you're a fan of Sherlock Holmes, I don't feel like it feels like these are people that understand something about Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
And one would hope.
And they it is different in that it is a character picking up subtle things at a crime scene or subtle things in ways people answer questions and using that to solve crimes. You know, but it has all the same criminal, you know, police procedural tropes. It's like when we're watching Criminal Minds and somebody gets dragged into the police station 15 minutes into the show, I just look at Pat and I'm like, he didn't do it.
It's too early.
Right.
It's probably his parent and or like close relation or kid.
I wonder if the celebrity guest did it.
That's very Law and Order.
Yeah. Anytime a character appears the second time, I look at Pat and go, she did it.
Because
if you only see him once, then they're nothing. But if you see them again,
it's the procedural part of.
Yeah. Whenever we would watch, you know, if Law and Order's on or whatever, and it especially when it opens, and it's always like, you know, I'll turn to Nick and be like, oh, I'm just here to get my morning cup. What a body! Because it's just always like,
just out for a little run. What?
Yeah. Criminal Minds is actually
fetch Fido fetch. What did you fetch?
A human hand.
Criminal Minds is actually better. For the you know, thing about, oh, there's this familiar character that showed up more than once, because the way it is set up, you know, often they're tracking a killer who you don't see until the end of the, you don't see who it is because they've got their victim out in the middle of the woods and they've got to figure out where the fuck this guy is.
Yeah.
And so frequently the killer is not somebody who's appeared anywhere else in the show.
That's cool.
Which is kind of nice and kind of refreshing, although if there is a character that shows up more than once, often it's the serial killer.
Have you guys watched like Homicide?
The long time ago.
What about Person of Interest?
Yeah, we've watched some of Person of Interest. Person of Interest is okay.
Have you watched The Mentalist?
I have watched the first two seasons?
The first, basically up until he spoiler alert, catches Red John. Basically,
or does he?
Up until then is great. And then when I think it's season four something where like now they work for the CBI.
It gets a little repetitive after a few seasons.
A lot of shows like this get repetitive.
And, yeah.
The Criminal Minds.
Formulaic.
The job's repetitive.
They are formulaic. And certainly Elementary is formulaic. But the thing that works for me with it is, you know, I'm kind of a big Sherlock Holmes fan. I mean, I wrote a Sherlock Holmes for the fucking show for the fucking Fringe this year.
Is there anything make it wrong about Sherlock's character specifically?
Well, what happens in modern tellings of Sherlock Holmes more than the traditional Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes is certainly short, but short with people.
Right.
But the sociopathic personality.
Mm-hmm. Or autistic or whatever, yeah.
That very much came from the British series. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is the personality that they transport into the American
series. I figured. That's, yeah.
It's not that that's wrong, but it's a little, it's a little bit disappointing because it feels unoriginal.
It's so great in the BBC version, and it's so great. Dead accurate.
And it makes sense it if does. You're taking Sherlock Holmes from a Victorian era and placing him in a modern era, the differences in the way that personality would be perceived.
Right, right.
And the way that he would behave in a modern society.
Yes.
And then when they do it in the American show, you're kind of like, well, they sort of, you sort of just watch Sherlock, and you were like, oh, we like the way that you did Sherlock there. So
we're Tim, if you...
We like a brilliant asshole.
So if there's another police procedural that you want to get into, the show Lucifer, which is supposed to be based on the comic, but isn't. So we didn't really like it because we were hoping it would be the comic. But for a police procedural, it was pretty decent, and it's got kind of a cool twist. And so, like, that's not really Nick's thing. Yeah. So, but I bet I would be interested to see how you guys, what you guys think about that. I can vicariously watch it through you.
I don't know.
I would imagine it's network TV, so probably.
Yeah, the main reason I haven't watched any more than the first two seasons of The Mentalist is because they aren't streaming.
Right.
So.
Apparently, in last week's episode of Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
Lucifer hinted or said that Trump will be in hell.
Trump will be in hell.
People are
mad at Peter David.
Yeah,
who wrote Lucifer? Right. They're like, oh, you're bringing your political views, and like anytime someone starts.
Peter David is Jewish and liberal.
It's pretty funny.
I know you guys don't have HBO, but have you watched The Wire? It's not strictly...
I know The Wire is really good.
It's maybe more crime drama than procedural, but...
It's more like Homicide than...
It does have a lot in common with Homicide.
The main reason I haven't watched The Wire is just because it's not streaming through anything that we stream.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we will talk about that off the air. I think my boner has been suitably massaged.
My boner got stroked hard by that pedophile.
Yeah.
My boner got narrowly missed by a shark.
your anus is bleeding.
So it's time
Why
for
not?
It's time for five questions.
Five questions.
Molly, who do we have five questions from?
We have five questions from Jessica Dalton Morgan.
Hi, Jessica.
She says, longtime listener, second time caller. I would describe myself as an allurophile, infervor, and bibliomaniac. A.K.A. a cat-loving person that has a voracious appetite for information and an excessive fondness for acquiring and possessing books.
And likes big words, and that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, that's hot.
We are fans of big words here. So
yeah.
Question number one, Nick.
Question number one is, what is a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Galaxy Quest.
Yay!
I agree with this one for sure. I will stop and watch Galaxy Quest anytime. She says, Commander Taggart's catchphrase, never give up, never surrender, is frequently quoted in my family.
I love Galaxy Quest.
By
I think by my figuring, Galaxy Quest is the third best Star Trek movie.
I can see that.
It's so up there. It's
Wrath,
up there.
Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. Original series.
Of Khan, Voyage Home, Galaxy Quest.
Although, you don't really need to stipulate original series because the Next Generation movies aren't really good.
None of the Next Generation.
I liked Nemesis.
The worst of them. Awesome.
I liked when he crashes the ship into the other ship. That was Nemesis super
who,
great.
The guy who was in Clockwork Orange, who was the villain in that, what's his name again?
Malcolm McDowell?
Damn
it. Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
I love Malcolm McDowell.
It's very daring of them to cast Malcolm McDowell as the sinister villain guy at that time period when that was all he ever played.
Although that was Generations, not...
Oh, that was Generations.
Nemesis.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Nemesis is the one where they clone him.
The Romulan Picard.
Yeah, the
young Romulan Picard.
Sorry,
Jessica, we are sidetracking. Question number two, what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
After learning slash playing the violin for over 30 years, which I still love and currently play in an orchestra and small groups, I had fallen in love with the cello many years ago after hearing a recording of Jacqueline Dupré play the Elgar Cello Concerto. A couple of years ago, I was able to buy my own cello and have started teaching myself how to play. I am still many years away from playing the Elgar, but I am enjoying the mellow low register of the instrument as compared to the bright high register of the violin. As a side note, my favorite music nitpick slash trivia is from Star Trek The Next Generation episode Sarek. Huh. Apart from watching non-musicians trying to mime playing stringed instruments, which requires coordination of left and right hands, Data and three other unnamed crew members put on an all-Mozart concert for Sarek. Although it starts off with a Mozart piece, Quartet for Strings number 19 in C, when it fades to later in the concert, the piece that makes Sarek shed a tear is a Brahms sextet, sextet number 1 in B-flat major. But there are still only the four musicians, not the six required to play the Brahms sextet. So not only is it the wrong composer, but the wrong number of players. That's amazing.
And none of them are playing the instruments.
But the replicators are fine.
That is holodeck magic.
I love cello. I do love the cello.
The cello's my favorite stringed instrument.
In middle school.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You just got so much hotter to me.
It just didn't. I'm not a musically gifted person.
I have never played. I've never learned a stringed instrument. I learned percussion. I learned piano. And I mean, obviously, I learned guitar, but I don't really consider myself a guitar player so much as a guitar mauler and and someone who can make seven chords come out of a guitar sometimes.
Question number three. Which supernatural, magical, or all-powerful being do you wish was real?
Sandman and Company from the Gaiman Sandman series.
The Endless.
But mainly the Seven Endless. Yeah. Particular favorites to meet would be Death, Murph Pumpkinhead, and simply because his image is based on a young Brian Blessed, Destruction.
The Corinthian.
The Corinthian. I always thought the Corinthian was so cool.
Super
with his
scary.
Eyes made of teeth.
Yeah.
Destruction's great.
Yeah.
It's really... I.
And who doesn't love Despair? She's so uplifting.
I got so obsessed with Sandman when I was in college. Like, it was just...
It's a good pantheon.
I want to reread it. It really was like, my everything for so many years.
The Endless are a great pantheon of gods.
The way they are reborn makes sense.
I have to say, like, anyone who's like, oh, man, I really love Sandman, Kieran Gillen wrote Journey into Mystery for Marvel, which is all about Loki, and it is the closest thing you'll ever get to Sandman in Cape comics. It has very little to do with superheroes. They only touch on, like, an event in the later, like, the fifth or sixth trade. It is so, so good, and Loki is an amazing... Child Loki, innocent trickster Loki,
it's
not
really
evil
good.
Adult Loki.
It's really good.
If you like Sandman, check out Journey into Mystery by Kieran Gillen.
Also, 1604, if you haven't read that.
That's Neil Gaiman.
That's Neil Gaiman writing the Sandman set in 1604, which is pretty cool.
I've said before that, like, between Journey into Mystery and The Wicked and the Divine, Kieran Gillen is the new Neil Gaiman for comics.
The Wicked and the Divine
comics.
Is so good. Oh my god. We got to talk about that sometime.
Yeah.
All right, question number four. Say religion is gone, what is the biggest problem that now faces the human race?
Inaction on climate change.
That's going to be a problem for 4 years.
Yep, no shit. All right, we'll get to there.
Our state, Minnesota, has always been ahead on climate laws and pollution control, and... we are not going to take steps backwards.
Which is great if we didn't live on a sphere.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying it's not totally bleak.
Not totally bleak.
Not totally bleak. And with that, we go to our fifth question.
Five.
What is your favorite quote?
Science knows it doesn't know everything. Otherwise, it would stop. But just because science doesn't know everything doesn't mean you can fill in the gaps with whatever fairy tale most appeals to you.
Mm.
That's UK comedian Dara O'Brien. I think I'm saying that right. It's O-B-R-I-A-I-N. Brian, I would say.
It might just be O'Brien.
It might be.
O'Brien.
Well, UK comedian Dara O'Brien, I apologize if I missed your name, Thanks, Jessica Dalton Morgan.
Thank you, Jessica. We really appreciate your questions. If you have been listening to our podcast and you're like, dude, I want to answer their five questions. I want to hear them read it on the air. I want to be that special person. You can send your answers into 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. And I believe we're down to only 4 in the hopper. Is that right, Molly?
We're down to, it's real low. It's for sure.
So we will get to you. We will get to you if you send them in. Speaking of having your name read on the air, another way to get your name read on the air is if you sponsor us on Patreon. Yeah. You can go out to our Patreon page for only $2 a month, which is $24 a year, which is really freaking cheap. You can get our episodes early. In fact, there are people right now, as you're listening to this episode, who heard this episode 5 weeks ago.
It's true. Five weeks ago, they heard
this episode before Nick got his vasectomy. Yep. That's how long ago they heard this episode. You were just waiting.
When they heard this episode, Trump had barely been elected.
Yeah.
Barely. Yeah. God knows how bad it is now.
By the time you hear this episode, Trump will have probably chosen his cabinet. Just think about that and think about how much happier you would have been if you'd listened to it now. So think about supporting us on Patreon. That would be absolutely fantastic.
Also known as nice country you have here. Wouldn't you like to listen to it a little sooner?
I don't know.
It seemed very threatening.
Still threatening.
And also you can if you follow us on Facebook, I'm just going to say right now, Nick has been posting all of the communications he's been getting from the Church of Scientology.
It's great.
And it's endless, speaking of the Sandman. You should really, you got to watch. You got to check it out. And then there's also Twitter. So where we tweet occasionally. So, but whatever. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sending in your questions. And we are going to sign off and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I say, Holmes, is that a gigantic boner? Elementary, my dear Watson.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
It's nice to have a thing at the end.
I like having
a thing at the end. Yeah.